I'm Jacques Voigt, the CEO of Catalytic, and this is Unbundled Boost, a series specifically created to boost businesses in South Africa by letting passionate and committed business people share their stories. In this episode, we're chatting about the future of work. We're chatting about what the future of work looks like. We're also chatting about the necessary skills for the future of work and why they are important. I'm joined by Dr. Eric Albertini from the Future Fit Academy. Eric, welcome.
Thank you, Jacques. Thank you for talking to me.
So we always start the show by just a little bit of a brief background. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So Jacques, I am the co-founder and MD of the Future Fit Academy. We're a center of excellence housed within SA Business School, which in turn is part of the Alphabet Group. I'm a passionate human behavioralist. Jacques, I have been for the last 25 years involved in various roles in developing human potential. I have a strong passion for getting the best out of people, teams, and organizations, and hence having set up in 2018 the Future Fit Academy.
So thank you for that intro. I'm sure we're going to unpack a bit of that as we carry on. So let's start with Future Fit. What is Future Fit?
Future Fit is, we see it as part of the whole being person. It's about developing the behaviors required to ensure that one remains indispensable and continues to add value in this world that, as we know, is changing every day. So future fitness is, are we ready behaviorally to take on the challenges that the new world of work will bring us? That's what future fit is.
And you've been doing this since 2018. It's actually interesting. Just before the show started now, I was having a conversation about how much our outlook on the world of work has changed over the past 2 years. What's your opinion around what the past 2 years of pandemic and lockdowns and remote working, has that changed the view from where you started in 2018, or has it sort of played into it?
Yep, most definitely it's played into it. So as I say, the work we started that led up to Future Fit Academy started way before 2018. But the last 2 years have what I like to call microwaved what we were already working on. It's accelerated the rate and the pace, as well as the magnitude of some of the change. So we knew, and it's been on the cards way back, that remote work and telecommuting and distributed teams could be a characteristic of the future world of work. The pandemic has made that happen sooner and a lot quicker and faster. So my view is definitely that in a weird way, the pandemic has heightened the need and the importance of some of these skills that were on the cards, that were on the table before the pandemic. The pandemic just showed us that we need them sooner rather than later.
And I'm veering off the subject a little bit now because I've got such a keen interest in it. Do you think that how ready were people for what the pandemic accelerated?
In general, Jacques, not very ready. So I think people were talking about it, and there was always a talk about at some stage in the future we may work from home or work from anywhere. At some stage in the future, we may have to work with robotics, artificial intelligence. What the pandemic did is it made them realize they have to do it now. I don't know that people in many ways were as ready as they needed to be.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think that's if we see our people, even now, 2 years in, I also think there's still a long way to go. So what would you say does the future of work look like?
So yeah, for us, we've all, I'm sure, have heard of the term VUCA, you know, which is, you know, the future world of work is going to be very volatile. There's going to be constant, frequent, fast-paced change. It is going to be uncertain. There's going to be a lot of complexity and a lot of ambiguity. So I think we're familiar with VUCA. We've adopted some work done by an American anthropologist and a futurist, in fact, a gentleman by the name of Jermaine Cascio. And we talk about the BANI world, B-A-N-I. So the future world of work for us is going to be very brittle. On the surface, it may appear that everything is working, but something that's working may break quickly. So we talk about a brittle world. It's sudden breakage. Anxiety, the A is anxiety, a very anxious world. As human beings, I think we all know, we are quite obstinate in finding answers quickly. And with the uncertainty of the future world of work and the ambiguity therein, we're not going to find answers as quickly as we want. So there's going to be a lot of anxiety. So fear and anxiety. The N in BANI is nonlinear. Again, as humans, we prefer linear ways of thinking. The future world of work is going to be anything but that. It's going to be a nonlinear world. And then incomprehensible. The I in BANI is incomprehensible. We're going to see things like the pandemic that not in our wildest dreams did we think would be possible. And leaders are going to have to be decisive and act in this very brittle, anxious, nonlinear, incomprehensible world. That's how we see the world going forward.
And that, it actually, there's a lot of similar things that I hear that people talk about the world of work. If we look at business owners, senior management, of larger companies or boards of directors, we can talk about these things. Do you think that I almost want to say internalize it and accept it, that that is the way that it's going to be? Because if that is the case, then surely along the way, the way in which we look at business growth or how to determine the value of a business, it's got to change from what we've historically been doing.
Absolutely. I think the new world of work will require a shift in operating models, in organizational structures. We are seeing that already. It'll require a change in reward and remuneration models. And to your point, how we value a business. So all of the, let's call them back-end components, so not just the behavioral stuff that we talk about in Future Fit, but the back-end components of a business and the ecosystem that makes up a business are going to require scrutiny and are going to be, they're going to have to be reviewed to fit better and fit proper into an evolving world of work.
And then how long do you think it'll take for, let's talk some of this, the historical linear ways of working. Like, let's say, for example, I apply for a job, I get offered a salary, I go and do it. Doesn't matter, you know, obviously I've got to put in my 40 hours a week or stuff like that. But my perception of the world of work is the future is maybe not necessarily a single employer, more sort of outcomes-based remuneration. How far away are we from that?
Yeah, we look, there are companies, clients of ours that are already doing that. They have the foresight. They are already encouraging their employees to take a second role, to get involved in other out-of-work activities. In fact, the one client refers to it as a second role. So there are instances where it's happening. I think, how long will it take? Well, it depends on the economic structures. It depends on the foresight and readiness to change of the organizations. It basically depends on the leadership, societal and organizational, and their understanding of the need to change, because it is systemic. You know, not changing might result in redundancy. I don't think it's going to be a quick journey. As I say, I think it'll depend from organization to organization. There are clients that are doing it, companies that are doing it. I think it also depends on the level of maturity of the organization and possibly the economic environment within which that organization operates.
Yeah. And then I've got another question which sort of ties into this. My perception is, as I said to you earlier, we talk about how technology is enhancing the world of business, et cetera, et cetera. And the minute we talk about the fourth industrial revolution and automation, et cetera, et cetera, it's almost, the first thing that people go, we've got to fight for our jobs because they're going to try and replace us. Do you find that there is a big resistance to I almost want to say accept this, how the future of work is evolving?
There is some resistance in terms of applying or deploying the technology to preserve roles, human roles. So there's no question that in some instances there are, again, economic, societal reasons for not deploying technology. We know that the technology and the automation is going to impact many, many, many roles. And will it lead to roles becoming redundant and being replaced by robotics, automation? Yes, it absolutely will. But yuck, at the same time, this technology poses and presents opportunities. But the bigger challenge is, will we be ready to shift, to change, to learn the skills we need to learn so that we can work with the technology, with the changes in organizational processes that technology will bring? So the fourth industrial revolution, automation, does it pose a threat? Yes, it does. Is there resistance towards it? I believe there is. I'd like to focus more on the opportunities that it may present, provided we're ready.
Okay, so let's go into that. So you refer to 15 critical skills to be ready for the future of work. Can you maybe take us through those quickly?
Absolutely. So what we do at the Future Fit Academy, we believe that to be effective in this evolving world of work, we need to think differently. So we've got some of the skills that are specifically about, we need to think differently. Then there's a bucket of skills or a category of skills where we need to be aware of opportunities. We need to be able to spot opportunities and approach problems with a solutionist mentality. So there's a bucket of skills under the leverage opportunities and be a solutionist thinker. And then, of course, in this automated world, human connection and engaging with purpose becomes critical. So there's a bucket that we have around engaging others. So if I just run through those very, very quickly. In order to think differently and to understand what it means to think differently, we have to cultivate a curious mind. And so curiosity we see as one of the critical skills that'll impact how we think. But it's curiosity in itself isn't enough. We need to think with a growth mindset. Now, growth mindset's been around for a long time. It's become more important. Growth mindset is really about the belief that I can learn what is required to continue to be relevant. Now, that growth mindset requires a learning agile or learning agility. And that's the ability to learn quickly. It's the ability to unlearn what no longer serves us. And it's the ability to reframe what we have learned for the new context. That's the third skill. So it's curiosity, growth mindset, learning agility.
Okay.
The fourth skill in this ways of thinking is dealing with paradox. the future world of work, this brittle, anxious, nonlinear, incomprehensible world, is going to require that we think both and not either or. So both and thinking, the ability to straddle these paradoxes, these polarities, becomes critical. And then the last one in that ways of thinking is the tolerance of ambiguity. We have to not only be comfortable with ambiguity, in the future we have to embrace it. We have to see the positive of ambiguity. We have to learn how to almost, I don't want to say encourage, but move toward ambiguity with a positive, optimistic mindset. So those are the five that sit under ways of thinking.
Eric, on that note, I want to ask you a question here, because as you talking now, all of these things resonate so strongly. Would you say this bucket of skills, in my mind, it sounds like that would apply to every single employee in an organization?
Absolutely. Yeah, these are not industry specific, nor are they necessarily role specific. At the Future Fits Academy, we have contextualized these for certain industries. So we've taken those, for example, and we've said, what does this mean in automotive and how the automotive world is changing? How do they impact the retailer of the future? So we have contextualized them, but at a generic level, they're applicable to any industry, anyone.
Because I'm just thinking, I think every employee or team member always wants certainty. And I mean, the way that you describing the world of work is that this ambiguity and uncertainty is a reality. So I mean it's literally every single person in the organization has to adapt and change the view towards that.
Absolutely. You know, as human beings, we create, the brain is a predictor machine. We are wired to seek certainty. That's why, as I said earlier on, you know, we're quite obstinate about finding a solution quickly. We don't like the human brain, from a neuroscience perspective, doesn't like being in the middle. It doesn't like this either or, and therefore it moves to a solution quickly. You know, and given that, we have to learn how to be comfortable with it. So yeah, these apply across across roles and across industries.
Okay, excellent. Thanks.
If I look at so spotting opportunities and leveraging opportunities and problem solving in the future world of work, the five skills that we work with, the first one is sense making. So that is how to create order and clarity when there isn't. It's about how to structure the unstructured in some way so that people, teams can move forward. So the ability to sense make is a skill that sits under leveraging opportunities. You know, in this future world of work, Yaku, teams feel, as you said, very, very disconnected, fraught with fear and anxiety. And leaders are going to become dealers in hope. You know, Napoleon Bonaparte's very famous quote, leaders are dealers in hope. Now, the only way a leader can do that is if he helps his team, her team, create clarity. So creating clarity, which is about visioning and mobilizing, absolutely critical skill. In order to spot opportunities and to be a solutionist, we have to approach problems with a design thinking mindset. So design thinking and innovation we see as an absolutely critical skill. In this world that we've been talking about, leaders and teams and individuals are going to have to make decisions on the fly. So improvisation and resourcefulness. How do I make do with what I have? And how do I improvise when this brittle, anxious, nonlinear, incomprehensible world comes at me? So improvisation and resourcefulness is a skill there. And then, of course, all of this requires adaptability. We talk about agile, we talk about flexibility, but actually what we believe is a critical skill is the ability to adapt. And those are the five that sit under leverage and opportunities.
Okay.
And then if we move to the engage in others, this need to connect at a humane, human level with people in this very technological world, we need something called connectedness. So we believe connectedness is a critical skill. How do we connect first to ourselves? Like we can't connect intentionally with meaning and purpose to others if we're not connected to self. So we talk about connectedness to self and then connectedness to others as a critical skill. The ability to influence without authority. So in the new structures we see evolving, flatter organizational structures, maybe leaderless teams, so self-regulating, adaptive teams, the ability to influence people without authority becomes absolutely critical. This global world, this technology is going to collapse borders. Cultural adaptability is going to become more important. Yeah. This is truly understanding how to connect with meaning and purpose to people different to ourselves. That's the skill of cultural adaptability. And all of this has to be done virtually. So, well, a lot of it will have to be done virtually. So we talk about the skill virtual collaboration. What does it mean and how does one create psychological safety in a team but virtually? How do we build trust? How do we hold ourselves and others accountable and manage performance in a remote team? So virtual collaboration, absolute critical skill. And all of these require the last skill, which is change resilience. How do I build up this resilient core that makes me resilient to this constant ongoing change? So change resilience is then the last of the skills that sits there. So those at a very high level of the 15 skills we work with.
In this last bucket that you mentioned, I think Catalytic might be a nice case study for you, because we've got a flat structure with leaderless teams. And I can tell you one thing, at a paper level, it looks easy and it makes a lot of sense. To implement and get it working at an operational level is a different kettle of fish.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
so that bucket, Yaku, with the clients that we work with, tends to be the bucket that is more dominant. You know, what we do is we map these skills against our clients' competency frameworks or operating models or capability structures. And this bucket with the influence without authority, adaptability, virtual collaboration, connectedness is often where most of the pain points are.
Yeah, ultimately, inadvertently, what you said is it's still all about people. It doesn't matter which way you look at it.
Absolutely.
So I think for me, the next question in is if I sit and listen to what we spoke about today, there's almost potentially two sides of the coin. There's an organization with its, call it employees or team members, that has to maybe look at it and say, right, how do I prepare for the future of the work? But then there's, on the other side of the coin, it might be me as an individual employee that can sit and listen to this and say, okay, what can I do for myself in order to make sure that I stay relevant in a world of work? So as an can you maybe, as a wrap-up, maybe say, where would an organization start with planning for the future of work, and in the other side of the coin, me as an individual employee?
Absolutely. So I think for both at an organizational level and at an individual level, it's first the realization and acceptance that the skills training, the development that was done was good for them, maybe is still relevant, but probably will not suffice for the future. So it's that realization at an organizational and individual level, I have to do things differently. It's the second part is they need to understand that there's knowledge that their staff, their employees have. There are skills, but a critical shift is required in the being component of the organization. How do we be? In other words, the behavioral dimensions. Because a lot of these 15 skills are behavioral. You know, in a knowledge economy, I can fairly quickly find out what I need to know. I probably could also fairly quickly convert some of that knowledge into the doing, into certain skills. The big challenge is the attitudinal mindset, the behavioral stuff.
Yes.
So organizations need to focus more on that. In the past, we've been talking about, you know, the hard job of soft skills. Well, it's now come to the fore. It's these behavioral dimensions that need adjustment. On the individual level, it's adopt a continuous lifelong learning mindset. Again, it's this realization and acceptance that whatever got me to where I am may not be enough to get me to stay relevant in the future. And really adopt this continuous lifelong learning approach and go for it.
And then from a Future Fit Academy perspective, I assume you cater for both the organization and for the individual.
Absolutely, Yaku. So we're an ecosystem that with our corporate clients, we will go in and we customize change and learning pathways around the skills and the industry. At an individual level, we have the assessment, the Future Fit Index, which is an online assessment which corporates use as well. This is an assessment that will give you a report on your state of readiness, let's call it that, across these skills. And then for the individual, there are self-paced online modules to do across each of these skills. For organizations, we can deliver them either virtually online or face-to-face, or they can also buy the asynchronous self-paced online modules for their employees.
Okay, and then I always end the show by saying, let's make it real. So if I'm an organization or an individual that listen to this, where do I start?
Yaku, they can go onto the website, which is www.futurefitacademy.com, or they're welcome to reach out to me. I can send an email address, give you an email address, but the website has all the details and they can ask for someone from Future Fit Academy to make contact with them.
Okay, fantastic. We'll put all of those details up on LinkedIn when we post the podcast later this afternoon. Go to the Future Fit Academy website and then there's all of the relevant information to get started.
Absolutely right.
Eric, thank you very much. I feel that there's so many, many, many more questions that I want to ask, but I think we'll definitely do a follow-up on this. This was a great kickoff for the future of work. I'm confident there's more discussions between you and me in future.
Lovely. I look forward to that, Jackie. Thank you, and thank you for hosting me today.
Thank you for your time. Thanks for listening to Unbundled Boost, brought to you by Catalytic, a series that aims to boost business in South Africa. Remember that you can listen to all of the episodes on the Cliff Central app or website. And for added convenience, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen. And if you want to know more about Catalytic, please visit catalytic.co.za. CliffCentral.com